Hey there, Bet Blast podcast listeners. We come to you today with some exciting news. Nominations for DVM360's 4th Annual Veterinary Heroes Awards have been extended until May 31st. This means that you have almost 6 more weeks to nominate your veterinary superhero. Remember, we are honoring one person from 11 different categories. Keep in mind that these are peer-to-peer nominations, so you are encouraged to nominate any veterinary professional, no matter what you specialize in. So don't forget to nominate your veterinary superhero by May 31st. Check out DVM360 to learn more, and the link to nominate will be in today's show notes. Enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM360.
Hey, what do you know about honeybees? What did he just say? Did he just say honeybees? I did. And there's a lot to know. What we are going to call this Keys to the Bees. That's right, listeners. And that's all I'm going to say because you got to tune in to learn more. And joining us is our wonderful colleague and friend, Tiffany Ayers in the house. How are you, my friend?
Hi there. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's an honor to have you. Wait, so to the listeners, I know you can't see, but she's got a beautiful honeycomb background behind her with the bees. It's absolutely gorgeous, by the way. So I'm so curious, and I love going in kind of a little bit blind of not knowing what we're going to chat about. So this is very exciting. So, okay, so let's chat with our friend here, Tiffany. So she's worked in the veterinary field, get ready for this, everyone, for more than 25 years in an array of leadership positions. She initiated her veterinary career at a small Pennsylvania mom and pop veterinary hospital with 2 veterinarians and 10 support team members. And during her tenure, she grew this veterinary hospital to a 6-doctor thriving medical practice. And while in practice, she taught physical therapy or PT veterinary management courses at the local veterinary technician school and York Technical Institute. In addition, she's prepared many speaking engagements at annual conferences such as AHA and worked with Fred Pryor presenting management topics all over the country. Tiffany provides veterinary management consulting services, and Zoetis has utilized her services for workshops. In recent years, she's worked with a corporate sector, offering coaching and leadership services in regional capacity for pet vet care centers and Mission Veterinary Partners. With this broad view of veterinary industry, Tiffany's offers a wide scope of knowledge and the ability to adjust her approach to the needs of the recipients. So much to chat about, and I'm going to leave the rest for our conversation that we're going to chat even further. So let's, because you have many years of experience in practice management and leadership. So I'm really curious to get your perspective on this. So from a veterinary management perspective, what do you see as common issues facing our industry today?
Well, first I'll mention there are never enough staff available, but this is not unique to the veterinary industry. Neither is burnout or the search for work-life balance, which contributes to the need to seek more staff. But while I've visited, consulted, or just held general conversations with leadership, when you take a deep dive into the proposed issues, I've discovered a pattern. Aside from the need for more staff, the underlying deeper issues are commonly 2 things: communication, or lack thereof, really needing communication to be effective, which means efficient, accurate, clear, and timely. Communication needs to be all of these elements for it to be effective. If the information relayed is a day after it's needed, it's really not that helpful. And if the relayed information is in a format that's not clear, again, it's not very helpful. And the second common issue uncovered from these deep dives is teaming or teamwork, which helps with efficiencies and staff development and a slew of other areas. Now, for teaming to truly reach exemplary heights, some foundations do need to be in place for this to occur. For example, the organization or veterinary hospital must have a clear purpose, also described as focus or primary goal, but this purpose works as a guide then for the team. So if we can enhance these 2 areas alone, communication, and teaming, we can focus on medicine. And then the sky's the limit.
Yeah. I mean, teamwork is like such the nucleus to really effective communication. Like you were talking about. Yeah, I love that. And you know, what's the hardest lesson then you learned as a manager?
Yeah. So I would really say this would be, I would say this is would be empowering my employees to be successful and to fail. The failure part was the hardest lesson for me to learn. Allowing my employees to fail without intervening. Of course, this is not failing at the detriment of health or safety, but this stumble allows for growth and development of the employee. Some of our best lessons are learned by making our own mistakes. Early in my veterinary management career, I was fortunate to manage a hospital where the owner gave me the reins and allowed me to manage. I owe Dr. Douglas Schmidt much as he handed over the reins of his hospital, which then in turn allowed him to practice medicine. This leadership partnership established a positive environment, one that we were able to identify team members' strengths and interests and optimize their skill sets. It was a win-win equation. And in this type of environment, a few things are accomplished. Team members are responsible and accountable for their projects. They know what to do, how to do it, and pitch in to help others. And in this environment, it also promotes the accomplishments of several projects or enhancements occurring simultaneously, certainly much more than one person just driving that productivity. Right. It also promotes job satisfaction, heightened morale, array of diverse programs, quality customer service, and staff retention, which staff retention definitely is an issue. But in order to create this environment, I needed to empower my team and allow them to make their own mistakes. I knew they needed to go through this process on their own to reach that next level of development. One of my hardest lessons, but truly rewarding for so many reasons. But I want to just expand and say one more thing. This empowerment can be personally challenging depending upon your team and hospital's environment. There can be challenges simply getting team members engaged, which for obvious reasons must occur first. And I've seen this in plenty of hospitals and organizations, but this is where my passion for the honeybee has been helpful. I have yet to find someone not just a little bit fascinated by the wonder of the honeybee.
Well, I'm really fascinated about this because believe it or not, I don't know, I'm sure you know this, our profession is obsessed with honeybees. I mean, like I'll go to lectures at conferences and there's always something on, you know, beekeeping and all of that. So I'm so curious to get your perspective of what does the honeybee and people have in common?
Yeah. This is a common question that I get, especially when people learn that I offer team programs that utilize the honeybee as a guide for team enhancement. Certainly, it's easy to identify the differences between the honeybee and humans, but once you learn a bit about the honeybee, you realize they just might have more of life lessons figured out than we as humans do. But so what do the honeybees have in common with us? They have a purpose, a mission, a vision, and they execute it well. They are extremely social. In fact, they are one of the world's largest social organisms with colonies reaching up to 75,000 individual bees. And as with any social organization, you need order in order to survive. And well, they've established order or structure having survived, even thrived for over 120 million years. This is accomplished through They establish roles or separate jobs and having effective ways to communicate, and they need to work together. Many beekeepers reference entering a colony of honeybees as entering a place of zen, because the honeybee excels at working together. Here we have tens of thousands of individuals working together. And I think back to my regional manager role when we would acquire new hospitals, and I initially met with teams of 8 or 20. It was clear even these small teams had challenges with teaming and communication. Think if they would have tens of thousands. But the social aspect of honeybees and what they've accomplished to make their social organisms of the hive be successful is not far from what we as humans experience within our own social organizations, or say veterinary hospitals. They just do it better than we do. And they aren't your routine insect. They are extremely intelligent. They actually utilize 20% of their brain for learning and memory, where a common insect uses 2%. And to give you perspective, we as humans use about 35%.
I think I use 110%. That's so fascinating about them. I mean, I know so many people study them because of, just to your point, how intelligent and fascinating they really are. So cool. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about getting involved. So how do you get involved with honeybees? How did you get involved with honeybees, I should say?
Yeah. So you can get in honeybees just by walking outside, planting a flower. But no, I got involved with honeybees. The quick answer is I met a beekeeper. The more in-depth response is I went to a veterinary conference. I was presenting at a conference at a spa. And during a break, of course, I was at a spa, so I went for a massage. And the masseuse comes in. She looks a little disheartened, upset. And I asked her what was wrong, only to find out that she was a beekeeper. And she had discovered that her apiary or bee yard was demolished by black bears. And, she was upset by this. But I was so fascinated that for that entire hour, I bombarded this poor woman with honeybee questions. And as soon as I got home, I signed up for a beekeeping 101 class. Now, as an instructor, I see that awe and wonder in my students. The only thing that I have seen in comparison of this fascinating and wonder look is when you look at kids or children, when they see or hear about Santa Claus, right? It's really awesome. But I do continue to keep bees because this fascination for me has grown into a thirst for knowledge. And as I learn more, I understand the behaviors of the honeybee. I like to call it that I'm able to talk the language of the honeybee. Simply, I think that sounds cool, right?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, but I offer beekeeping classes. I assist new and novice beekeepers be successful because there is a need. As high as 80% of new beekeepers quit beekeeping in their first years, through third years, because they're unable to keep their bees alive. And I know we can do better than this. And yeah. I'm determined to improve these odds, even if it only touches on the lives of those honeybees I touch. But I do recall the day I had an awakening. I'm not certain what else to call it. I was a regional manager, and I was having a particularly challenging week, having left home on Monday, gone all week, returning home Friday afternoon. I remember longing to get into my bees, to find this quiet place to help me recenter myself. And the first colony I opened, my mind was still spinning from the week. And at some point, I cracked open the lid and became absorbed in the synchronized movement of the bees. I'm not certain how long I was standing like this, watching the flow of bees, but I recall listening and hearing the hum of all the bees working together. They were working in harmony. It was quite hypnotic. And this was the point I realized just how amazing the honeybee is. And I knew there were lessons to be learned here.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And so they're very organized, obviously. They're very productive. What are some other things that you've learned from honeybees, or what we can learn together from them?
Sure. Well, from a business perspective, we commonly turn to businesses or organizations that are successful in areas we seek improvement. Why not look to the honeybee for some of these answers? I've identified, and others have identified, communication and teamwork as areas within our workplaces needing improvement. We can learn quite a lot from the honeybee to enhance the systems and the structures we have in place. Now, without knowing much about the honeybee, I do accept how silly this may sound, but when you recognize that they are successful in coordinating the efforts of tens of thousands of individuals to work towards the goal or purpose of the hive, it's difficult to dismiss. The honeybee truly is a non-traditional expert, and we can learn quite a bit about organizational goals, roles or jobs, effectively communication, teamwork, collaboration, empowerment. After all, the honeybee must be effective in all of these areas for their very survival, and they have evolved and adapted over the last 120 million years. What we've been here about, what, 6 million? We have some time to catch up. And yeah, you know, perhaps instead of coloring inside the lines, we should try coloring outside the lines. What will it hurt? And maybe, you know, maybe we'll be on to something.
I love that. I remember I was at an AVMA convention last year, and Debbie Boone, there was that, remember that big coloring chart you can color when you're out there?
Yes. At a convention?
And Debbie Boone wrote there, color outside of the lines for once. And it really resonated with so many people. And then around her, people were coloring outside the lines, realizing like that's where creativity can happen, thinking outside of the box and not being so held to certain standards or whatnot. So I really appreciate what you were talking about there. That's fantastic. So, okay, so this is wonderful. So where can we learn more about you and your organization? Tell us more. This is so interesting.
Oh, sure. So my organization, it is Keys to Bees. The program is the Honeybee Concept. I offer consultation services and customized training services to enhance the effectiveness of organizations or veterinary hospitals. And I do this with the knowledge and background of being in the veterinary management role for, 20 plus years, and also as a master beekeeper. I merge these two knowledge sets together and offer a program that utilizes the lens of the honeybee. And you can find out more by going to Keys to Bees on Facebook. And that's a wonderful place to go.
Keys to Bees. There it is. I got to give a shout out to our friend Eric Garcia. I'm sure do you know him at all?
Yes.
Do not.
Yes.
He just started being a beekeeper. I don't know if you know that or not.
I did not know that.
Yes, you got to reach out to him. So, Eric, this one's for you. We got to give you a shout out. Yes. Well, Thank you so much, Tiffany, for being on the show and for sharing your expert. And even more importantly, thank you for all the great work you have done in this profession for a long time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me here.
Our pleasure. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Listeners, don't forget to rate the podcast as always, as it helps us continue to grow and we provide excellent content and guest speakers to you as well. Have a great week, everyone. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.